Okay, we got through 1 Thessalonians as far as going through chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But I want to just give you a summary as we close out this teaching. I just want to give you a summary, a short summary of what we've looked at, and also just bring this to some concluding remarks. Okay, Paul's journey in Thessalonica, or Paul's ministry, faced great opposition. Now, we tend to just think of that as Paul facing great opposition. But understand that those to whom he's ministering also incur that opposition, in that they are submitting themselves to his teaching. And so when Paul leaves, the opposition is still there. And you have to understand that to appreciate what's going on in Thessalonica at this particular time, and yet how true and how faithful these people are to whom he spent just a short amount of time teaching, which goes to show that it doesn't take years to get a person established in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember, it said 3 Sabbaths that he taught in the synagogue. Now, I don't know exactly how long he was there, but it wasn't long. He was only in the Sabbath 3 weeks and met with great opposition, you understand. And then we talked about this comment, those who have turned the world upside down have come here. And we know that that's referring to Paul and his traveling companions, which was a very small team, you understand. But they were committed. That's a word that's been lost out of the church. It is extremely difficult to find someone committed. And I'm not talking about committed to an organization. I'm talking about committed to doing what God ordained them to do before they were born. But most people never come into the realization of their purpose on earth. Consequently, they don't fulfill it. They live and die and never fulfill the purpose for which God ordained them. Now, don't bring sovereignty of God in there. It's like this. You could make something, give it to somebody for a particular purpose. They just put it up. They may not know what it is. It can come with instructions. They never read the instructions. And they can live and die, and what you gave them never be of benefit. We come equipped with gifts and abilities. You have them, you're born with them. But they have to be developed. You understand? They're not mature. But how many people live and die and never develop the gifts that they have for the service of the Lord? They may use their gifts to make money. They may use their gifts for ego. But they do not use their gifts and abilities for God. And that is a large population of the church, because they do not want to totally commit to God, because if you totally commit to God, then that means you give up self-time. And people are so caught up on themselves that even now, I remember the first time I heard this word, I thought, that's demonic. Selfies. I didn't know what a selfie was. So, you know, someone had to explain to me what a selfie was. And then I said, is your ego that big that you need to take pictures of yourself? You need to admire yourself? You need to promote yourself? You know, other people need to see you? No, they need to see the Lord. You understand? And God is looking for committed people. Have you ever thought about the scripture? Many are called, but few are chosen. So why? It's because the many that are called won't commit to the invitation. They want to date God. They don't want to marry God. And for the record, he doesn't date. I was talking to a young man just here recently, and he was getting ready to get married, and his wife started talking about a hyphenated last name. He said, I told her all or nothing. I said, you're my kind of man. And that's what God is. All or nothing. All of me. Totally commit. These Thessalonians committed. You believe Paul was committed? And when you get committed, all I can say is there's something on the inside of you. You want to be with the Lord. You don't dread reading, you look forward to it. You don't dread being alone with God, you look forward to being able to get alone with God. And if people could just get that revelation, that it's not bondage, it's liberty. Oh well. This letter to the Thessalonian believers states that it's from Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. So Paul is not the only one ministering. He's not the only one facing opposition. And I want to show you something about this. No man's an island. You cannot do what God's called you to do without other people helping you. And I don't know why it is we think we need to be isolated. We want our ministry, our thing, and all this. But in order for the will of God to be accomplished in any ministry, it takes the cooperation of other people. It takes commitment. You understand? I don't care from a local church, even if it's small. I don't care if it's 10 people, 15 people. It requires commitment. If you're going to be effective, it requires commitment. You need people assisting you. Everybody does. You understand? And the bigger that gets, the more assistance you need, the more commitment you need. But in this day and age, it's people wanting pay. I don't understand, and if I'm hitting a sacred cow, humor me, I'm going to kick it over. I do not understand paying a piano player. And I'll just use that for an example. So if you're a piano player, let the chips fall where they may, okay? To say, oh me. God gave the gift. Why do you think that gift's there? Wouldn't it be for the glory of God? Then why is it that I would think that I would have to be paid? It would be like me thinking that I'm to be paid when I preach. I'm not a hireling. And I'm not a prostitute. I was pastoring another church at another time, and somebody came up and said something. That's what we pay you to do. I said, let me tell you something. You don't pay me to do anything. I don't work for you. I work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not a hireling. You didn't hire me. You can't fire me. The only reason I'm here is because God sent me here. You don't have enough money to keep me here if God didn't put me here. Well, it didn't make me popular, but it's a fact. You're not for sale. Quit selling yourself. These guys were totally committed on these mission trips. You understand? They're working with their own hands for their support. So they won't be a burden to the church. Setting an example. And today it's the very opposite. Ministry will absolutely rape and destroy and bankrupt the church. And I'm just telling you this, you know, if you don't love the people more than you love yourself, get out of the ministry and do us all a favor. The word means serve. And I don't care what the capacity is, if you're the high potentate or if you're the low man on a totem pole, you're still a servant. So serve. You really want to know how I feel about it? They were servants. They were sold out. They were slaves. They knew who their master was. Their master was Jesus. So they're interested in one thing, pleasing the master. We should be consumed with pleasing the master. God's going to take care of me. You understand? The master is obligated to take care of me. Yes. He's obligated himself to that. You understand? And so we have to keep that in mind, that whatever gifts and abilities we have, whatever God's called us to do, do it for the Lord. I've never asked the Lord how much He's going to pay me. Think about it. There's too much going on today. In the name of God and all this other stuff. And it disturbs me because it's hindering the work of the Lord. And it's deceiving people. And I believe good people, naive people, ignorant of the Word of God, are falling for these lies and these charlatans and all that who are doing things in the name of God. But when you get somebody like Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Titus, they're going in and doing the ministry and laying their life on the line because they care about the people. You understand? That's what God's looking for, people who care about people. Okay? Not focusing on themselves. The Thessalonian believers were an example, or are an example, but they were specifically an example to the people in Macedonia and Achaia. They faced great persecution, but they remained faithful. People are dropping out of churches today in America like flies. I mean, the attendance is just falling, falling, falling. They're looking for a reason not to go to church. People that have attended church all their life are now looking for a reason. They need to read 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Now, in the latter days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and believing lies. And it goes on and on. You understand? and people, because of religion and bad things that's taken place in religion, they decide they don't need to assemble themselves. Yet the Word of God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We've got to get this in perspective. And don't let deceptions and opposition and persecution stop you from serving God. Your relationships with God, you love God regardless of what's going on. Wouldn't it be something to somebody say, well, you know, I'm your friend. If you ever need me, call me, but don't call me at night. But don't call me on the holidays, or don't call me this. Just call me when it's convenient for me. You see, that's the way people are with the Lord. They just want to do things for the Lord when it's convenient. Oh, well. I don't want you to get overexcited here. Paul instructed these believers to live their lives above reproach. And that's what God expects out of us. And let me tell you something about this. You cannot hang out with the world and live your life above reproach. You know the old adage, one apple will spoil the whole bunch, you know? There's a lot of truth to that. If you start associating with the wrong people, you don't pull them up. They pull you down. You can walk in a setting and sit down with someone and be very positive, and after you've listened to the conversation, there's something in you said, get out of here. Because it's really oppressing you. And if you stay there, you become negative. It gets in you, even though you didn't want it, it gets in you. And that's why, Jane was talking about a while ago, that's why people, they watch the news and they don't understand that that is seed taking root. It's going in, it's taking root, and it's going to produce negative fruit. So, he says, guard your heart with all diligence. In other words, you watch what you allow to go in. What was the psalmist says? I won't set anything evil before my eyes. Well, that do away with the media in all aspects, you understand. No, we have to guard our hearts. Choose your associates. Now, I'm not telling you to never associate with sinners for the sake of witnessing to them, or for the sake of helping them, or for the sake of winning them to the Lord. I'm saying, you represent God in the world. Don't sit there and participate in the things of the world. Jesus ate with sinners, you understand. But I'll promise you, he didn't participate in their sin. He was there with one objective, seeking and saving the lost. Now, that still should be the objective of the church. Now, there's a lot of lost people. They don't know where they're going. They don't even know where they're from. That's most of church people. They don't know where they're from. And if you don't know where you're from, you can't know where you're going. To eliminate confusion concerning the believers who had died, Paul told what would occur to both the dead and the living believers when the Lord returned for them. And some religions make that a tenet of a blessed hope. And we have a blessed hope. There's no question about that. That's the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? Do I believe the Lord's coming? Absolutely. If all I got was what's in this life, Paul said, I'd be miserable. Thank God there's something better. But I'm not going to be so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. The bottom line is, while I'm here, it's not always wanting to get out. It's bloom where you're planted. You understand? The earth's the one that needs the witnesses of the Lord, not heaven. And so we're here on earth to represent the Lord. So he's wanting good representation. The letter to the Thessalonian believers provides some instructions and hope for believers today. I believe we can glean a lot out of it if we'll just sit and ponder on the instructions that Paul's giving to them and learn to live our lives in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord. Now, to do that, you're constantly evaluating yourself. And understand a difference between evaluating and critiquing. You're not always trying to find fault with yourself. If you do that, then you'll beat yourself into the ground because you'll always find something wrong. But I'm talking about a true evaluation in our representation of the Lord. We're always improving. We should be striving to improve. But just making sure that we've taken advantage of the opportunities that the Lord's given us and that we've represented him well. See, he called the Thessalonians children of the day. We're children of the day. That means you can see what's going on in the day. Right? We're not children of the night. We're not darkness. As a matter of fact, we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, which is the kingdom of light. And we're to walk in light. We're children of light. We're to walk in light. And light just simply means illumination of the Word of God or the will of God. First off, of God. Anywhere you see light, when he's talking about us as light and children of the day, he's talking about illumination. We have knowledge of God. We have knowledge of the will of God through the Word of God. Do you understand? We have the Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us into all truth. So his Word, the psalmist says, your Word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 105, 130 says, the entrance of your Word gives light or illumination. It gives understanding to the simple. In John 1, he talks about in the Word was life, and the life was the light or the illumination of men. Okay? So it's that Word that's brought illumination to us. We heard the gospel. The gospel came out of the Word of God. So what did that do? That gave us knowledge and understanding of salvation, of a Savior, how to get out of the bondage to sin that we were in. And once we heard that, we were delivered and the light came on. Now we realize that Jesus has paid the penalty, that my righteousness is of him, not of what I do. It has nothing to do with what I do. It has everything to do with what he did. That's illumination. That's children of the day. To where we are illuminated in him and his kingdom. So we're to walk that way. We're not to walk in darkness. We're not to revert back to old lifestyles and thinking like the world thinks. The world has no hope. We have hope. We're to think in light. We're to live over here in the light. The world's over here in the darkness, but he says you're in it, you're not of it. You understand? So we're not to be participants of the things of the world. We're to be representatives of a kingdom that's in the world, and it's a kingdom of light. And as long as that light is shining, darkness can't do a thing about it. As hard as it would try, darkness cannot come into this room as long as the light's on. And the only reason darkness got into this nation is the light was cut down. So you know how to get the darkness out? Cut the light on. You with me? And it's in you. It's in you. You have knowledge of God. We have what they need. They're groping in darkness. They're searching for this and trying that. And you and I have experienced the only thing that will satisfy a person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no satisfaction in people, places, and things. Amen. You can't get enough people, places, and things. You know, I can't get enough of Jesus, but I'm satisfied with. You understand? I'm satisfied to the point I want more of Him. I'm satisfied with Him. So I'm at peace with Him. I am with those around as far as that goes. Why? Because we've been illuminated. So I don't think of myself as in darkness. I'm in light. The darkness can't put the light out. You understand? While they're stoning Stephen, he's just saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." I'm going into glory. The light's going to get brighter in me. And they're going deeper in the darkness. They don't even know what they're doing. Oh, the Lord's coming back. You believe that? For the believers. It's Hebrews 9:28 that says that He's coming, and you can check me out on this, that He's coming the second time without sin. He's coming for those who are looking for Him. That's a key word. He's coming for those who are looking for Him. There's a lot of people today that aren't looking for the Lord. Oh, I've heard that stuff all these years. People have been saying the Lord's going to come for 1,000 years and hadn't come yet. He's coming. At an hour you think not. And if you walk in darkness, He's going to catch you unaware. But if you're walking in light, you know the season. You don't know the day. You don't know the hour. But you can know the season. Okay? Well, I'm looking for Him. How about you? You have to be alert. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be alert. Not looking for the devil, but looking for the Lord. It's amazing to me how many people are looking for devils. How many people in the church are looking for devils? I'm not looking for devils. I'm looking for the Lord. And if the devil happens to come in between there, then we do what we need to do with the devil. And that's not run. He's dark, we're light. He has to go. That's why He said, "In my name, cast them out." Now get a picture of that. Son, go away, devil. It's you throw him out with words. And he has to flee as a result of the words. Light overcomes darkness, right? I believe that we're closer than ever before. I think that's a fair statement, don't you? But I don't know how all this is going to transpire. Some people, you know, are teaching, well, God's kingdom's already come. It's a kingdom now. Well, it's a kingdom now on the inside of me. But it's not a natural kingdom now. The kingdoms of this world will all be subservient to the kingdoms of God, but that's not right now. Right now, He's wanting to rule the church. Isn't that amazing how much difficulty he's having just to rule the church? And the church has to come under subjection before the world comes under subjection. So we can speed up this process by submitting. I want us to be sold out, not just in spirit, but preserved blameless, as the way Paul said it, spirit, soul, and body, to where God has not only the inward man, but also the outward man. That means if God wants to use my body to witness, that God can use my body to witness. If God wants to use my body to do something for someone, God can use my body to do something for someone. We have been bought, and it's not ours. They're not your own. The body's been purchased. Read it. It's in there. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which are the Lord's. So it's not mine. You understand, this is not mine. But boy, do we want to act like it's ours. We want to do what we want to do with it. No, we have to start recognizing that it's the Lord's and we're to let Him do what He wants to do with it. That's how we become effective in earth. Amen. Well, I could talk, but I'll quit. You get the message. And that'll conclude 1 Thessalonians, and we'll go into 2 Thessalonians. Okay?